This is Absent Minded Extra.
You are listening to Absent Minded.
We have a trade, to you by and we're reporting on it with an instant reaction with Jared Book, Matt Drake, and myself, Patrick Bexel.
Alex Newhook, two Montreal Canadiens from the Colorado Avalanche. Montreal gives up the 31st and the 37th overall picks in tomorrow's draft and the day after tomorrow for in case of the 37th pick. And Gianni Fairbrother, who I'm quite sure doesn't have a contract. I'm here with everyone's favorite. The Matthew Mania has begun before the draft. Matt, your instant reaction.
I don't like this at all. I don't like it at all. The fan base seems pretty split. I put it out on Twitter right away. I hate it. I don't like the idea of giving up a first rounder, albeit a late one, and then an early second rounder to get a guy whose career high in points was 33 on the Colorado Avalanche, which is a very good offensive team. I mean, if you can't give me at least a 50-point season or something like that, I don't see how you're worth two picks plus another body in Gianni Fairbrother. Not a fan of this trade. I will be very happy if he goes out there and proves me wrong, but right now I'm steaming. I'm not happy about this one.
He was given the chance to take Arturi Lehkonen's role when Lehkonen was injured this past season. He didn't take it. They're letting his rights just walk away for a good haul. I do agree with that. I'm not a super fan of this either. We just like had a couple of seconds before setting this podcast up, and I'm starting to see it more and more. Like, can he play wing? Is that where you're gonna finish? You know, it's a local boy in a way. He's won the Stanley Cup. How much extra can you pay Jared, who's just jumped in?
I think that this is very, very similar to what they did a year ago with Kirby Doc. It's nearly identical. They're both in the same draft. They are both, you know, you could even argue that the price they paid this year is even less than they paid for Doc a year ago. And I just think that it's betting on the upside. And yeah, like you mentioned, he can play wing, he can play center. Where he ends up is kind of up in the air, but that's okay because it's kind of up in the air with Kirby Doc. They have a bunch of centers coming up in Owen Beck. They still have Jake Evans and Sean Monahan and Christian Dvorak as we speak right now. So I think that is it a gamble on Newhook's upside? Absolutely. But so is, you know, they'd be gambling on whoever they picked at 31 or 37 as well. So I think that it's a gamble worth taking. And I don't think the Canadians are done yet. I really don't.
Matt, do you think that this is also puts a question mark on the whole depth of the draft in this case? Because we've heard kind of things that anything can happen in this draft because there is no clear draft order.
I think it at the very least suggests that the Habs don't really believe in the depth of this draft. I still don't get it. I think, you know, what's his absolute upside? Second line at absolute best. This is a guy who put up 33 points on one of the best offensive teams in the league. I mean, I don't see it. I don't see how they're better off trading for a player who can only muster up 33 points playing on the Colorado Avalanche when they could have got two players. I mean, you got two swings with those picks, right? You hit one and you might be getting somebody in this particular draft. I see it as deep enough that you could have got somebody who maybe has legitimate top six upside, maybe legitimate top six immediate. Well, not immediate like next season, but once they come into the league, they might be able to step into a role like that. You don't know what you're getting. And I know it's the whole mystery box analogy, right? But I think with Newhook, the problem is like you're getting a pretty known quality that is not capable of piling up points, even on one of the best offensive teams in the league. So I don't know. I don't like it.
I mean, Kirby Doc had a maximum of 26 points playing with Patrick Kane a year ago, right?
Well, he was mostly not playing with Kane, wasn't he? He spent the most of his minutes with who was it? I can't even remember. But either way, I mean, I wasn't a super big fan of the Kirby Doc trade at the first when I first heard of it either. And again, I'll say the same thing I said before you jumped on, Jared. I'll be very happy if I get proven wrong, but I, on the surface, I don't like it.
I have our sister sites, My Life Hockey's top 25, under 25. He was voted for there last year. It also says a little bit how much they have given up in order to stay competitive and maybe go deeper into to another Stanley Cup run. The fan base is split when I read the comments there as well. Where is his upside? Where is his potential? Is he a third liner? Is he a second liner? But that's where they draw the line. And I think that's where Montreal will have to draw the line as well. Maybe he can become one of those exchangeables on the second and third line. But I really don't see him as a second line winger. He got the engine. He got the skills. If you want to play with speed, this is the guy you want, because he can turn on a dime. He can put on the afterburners. He has puck control. He has an engine that he can do it deep down in the third period as well. Is he a Paul Byron? Is he an Artturi Lehkonen? I'm not sure. But those are the kind of players that I automatically think about when I read the play card on Newhook.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there are questions to answer to what kind of player he is. But all through his junior hockey career, minor hockey career, and his career in at Boston College in the NCAA, he was an offensive player. He showed high motor, high intensity, good skater, also showed good anticipation and was able to make plays. And I don't think that goes away. And you know, Matt mentioned that he's been playing on some really good Colorado teams, and he absolutely has. But that also limits the role you can play. It also limits how much ice time you get as you're learning, because Colorado hasn't really been in a position to put kids in big positions. They were last year because everyone on their team got injured practically. But that also meant Newhook's quality of teammates was down as well. And you know, you look at, I'll go to another team in the New York Rangers, and, you know, that 2019 draft, they got Kaapo Kakko, and he's a player who hasn't really come along because the Rangers are trying to make the playoffs and can't really develop at the NHL level. And I think that it's hard for a player to break into that. It's a very select few players who can jump right into a contending team and perform offensively in a key role. And so I think that there's similarities there even with Doc, because early in Doc's career, Chicago was, you know, trying to make the playoffs, and Montreal right now is not doing that. So they can afford to see what they have. And I think that they see something in Newhook beyond the stat line, beyond what, you know, he was at the 2019 draft. And I think that, you know, has he been underwhelming at the NHL level? Yes. And that's exactly why the Canadiens had the opportunity to trade for him. So, I understand, you know, keeping 31 and 37, but I don't know if you're getting a guy there that would be better than what Newhook was in 2019. He's still 22. It's not like you're trading for even a 25, 26-year-old who's older than most of the guys in the window. He fits right in with Doc and Caulfield, the same draft year, a little younger than Suzuki. And I think that it's a gamble worth taking. If you look at the guys around the league that you can take with that pick, you know, is it possible that they get somebody better than Newhook at 31 and 37? Absolutely. But there's also a chance they get somebody who's not as good. So it's an interesting trade. It's not a discounted amount. It is a significant amount. But like I said earlier, I'd be very surprised if the Canadians don't end up with a pick between number 5 and number 69, which is basically what they're looking at right now. I think that there's going to be something that's going to get them more picks into that range. And then, you know, the outlook of this trade, and I think even, you know, Matt's view of it would probably change a little bit. And not just Matt. I mean, there's lots of the fan base in Montreal who's concerned, and, you know, looking at those players that you're going to get with those picks. I think that it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens here.
Do you think that they will toss out the puck between Dach and Newhook and see who can take that center role on the second line at training camp this year?
I mean, unless they're planning to move him to the wing, I mean, they might have this as a plan in order to keep Doc on the wing and put him back with Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield. It was one of the few combinations they had last year that worked. But I've been of the opinion all summer that they wanted to move Doc back to center. And yeah, I think they might have to compete those two. Either that or they're trading another center. Maybe Doc's on his way out and they're going to re-enter the PLD sweepstakes, like Stone Cold coming out with the broken glass and stomping their way down there and then smashing beers together after they make the trade. I don't know. I have no idea. This seems to fly in the face of, I mean, I know it's very similar to what they did last year, but it seems to fly in the face of the idea of a rebuild because you got all these picks and we're just going to flip them for, I don't know. I can't even organize my thoughts because I don't like this so much. Again, I hope
he's
I'm
only
wrong.
22 years old. He's the same age as Caulfield and Doc. I don't think they're going to flip Doc now. I just think that they're looking for this rebuild. They are rebuilding, yes, but they're looking for this rebuild to have core pieces that are ready to contend in 24, 25. And I don't think there's anybody that you would have taken at 31, 37 that would be an NHL caliber player by that time. And Newhook will be. He already is an NHL player, but he'll be, they're hoping that he'll be a top six player. And I think that they have flexibility, right? Hockey is turning into kind of a positionalist game. And I think that it's going to be, you know, it doesn't really matter whether Doc's a center or Newhook's a center or Monahan's a center or you know, whoever that center is on that second line.
Well, let's
or
be honest,
whatever
let's
line
be honest, it won't
at.
Be called Caulfield.
No, it won't, that's why I didn't mention him. it won't be Juraj Slafkovský either, I'm pretty sure. Although he would be the big center that they're looking for. But no, in all seriousness, I think that, you know, this core now, and we could include Newhook into that core, is going to be added with the number five overall pick or whoever they pick with, you know, if they trade down that pick and they get a couple of picks in that, you know, say 7 to 40 range. I think that, you know, that's what we're looking at it at as the core here.
That is an instant reaction. That is to pieces. Even the Habs eyes on the price crew is split down the middle. We have to wait and see. At least we know the offseason has started. The trades are coming in tomorrow. Montreal might be picking at number five. At least as of now, they are. Thank you guys for listening.
Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2. Now streaming only on Disney+.